and peace be with you all in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, I don't know how you walk into church each week, but for me, almost every day, I walk in through those doors right over there. So right in the back there, you all know those doors, the front doors. And if you walk in those doors, you kind of walk in, whether you're coming into the worship center or going to the office. If you look up on the right side, there's some words on the wall. You guys know those words I'm talking about? If not, when you're coming in those doors, there's also that big plaque right there. And those words read, to seek out and bring people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And those words are St. Luke's mission statement. This is why we're here. This is our function. This is our purpose. This is the goal that we're striving after. But as you read those words, it's one thing to read them, and sometimes quite another to actually do them. And this tends to be the case with mission statements in general. Whether you're at a church or at a bigger organization or any sort of group of people that have a mission statement, sometimes the mission statement can be pretty simple, but it's not always a straightforward process to get there. Sometimes there's a lot of steps involved. Sometimes it's not so easy. Fulfilling the mission can sometimes be a daunting task. And part of that, I think, is because it is not a simple and straightforward process. But talking about this process, so far in this Summer with Jesus series, we've been talking about kind of part of these the process of being a disciple of Jesus. This is what we're talking about here. This is the mission. So when we talk about this process, I think so far, for me at least, fulfilling parts of that process have been pretty manageable, right? At least for me, looking at the parts of this series, following Jesus in worship, Bible study, life together, and prayer, it seems pretty manageable. Following Jesus in worship, encountering him and his gifts through Jesus. Following Jesus by seeking after him and continuing a relationship with him in prayer and studying God's word and doing that all within the confines of this community, this life together. At that point, I'm like, okay, that seems fairly straightforward. I think I can do that. And then we get to the mission. And things get a little harder. You know, there's always going to be parts of this that we struggle with. There's going to be parts where we don't engage in this process of discipleship. But I think things really do become more difficult when we get to this mission of God. There are always going to be times when it's easy to let it go. So God has a mission for us, and this is our last stop in the process. But the reality is this is God's mission, and we are a part of it. We are going with God in this mission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that Jesus has taught us. This is God's mission, and this is our mission. God's mission that he desires for every person to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God's desire is for each and every single person to come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, to know the love and the forgiveness that comes to us through Jesus. That's God's mission. And that's our mission too. But if you're anything like me, this is where I start to get a little uncomfortable. This is where we start to cringe a little bit. We're not exactly sure how to approach this topic. Because, you know, we're all for it, right? We want people to know about God's love for them. We want people to know how they can be saved. We want people to know about the work of Jesus on the cross, how he died on the cross for their sins. We want people to know that he rose to new life so that they can have life too. These are things that we want people to know. So what holds us back? The problem is that this is where it gets complicated. See, so far in this process, so far in this series, we've been talking about things that are in our bubble. I like to think about like being in my bubble. The bubble's nice. The bubble's nice and comfortable. So far in this series, we've been talking about doing things that are easy and within our bubble. We don't have to worry about anyone but ourselves and all the other people that fit inside of our bubble. And right now, this is our bubble. And it's good in here. And it's comfortable. But then when we think about going outside of the bubble, things get a little scary. Because at that point, we don't really know what to expect. We don't always know what we're supposed to say. And sometimes we often feel like we're not prepared or qualified to talk to other people about matters of life and faith. But you know what? You are not alone in that. As we read Matthew 28 this morning, as we read this passage of the Great Commission, this chief passage where we hear about God's mission, his mission to go out and seek people, that he's going to go out and make people his own. This is the passage where we learn more about what it means to follow Jesus and bring other people into that with us. Even here, we see Jesus' disciples standing before the risen Jesus Christ, and they doubt. We read in Matthew 28 that as Jesus' disciples are worshiping him, some of them doubted. You know, you would think that these people who had walked with Jesus everywhere he went, these people who had listened to everything that he taught, you would think that these would be the perfect people to carry on the torch and spread the gospel to the nations, and yet even they doubted. See, they were just like us. They weren't sure what they were supposed to expect. They weren't sure exactly what they were supposed to say. And just like us, they sometimes felt like they were unprepared or unqualified, the fishermen, tax collectors, and zealots that they were. The reality is these men were probably the last people that you would expect that God would hand over the keys to his kingdom. And yet, it was these doubters, these hesitators, it was upon them that God established his church. And here we are. Here we are this morning, gathered together as God's people, gathered together as his church. You know, I know it seems sometimes like Pastor Dan and I, you know, when we stand up here and we talk, we got it all figured out. Or maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But here's the thing, when we talk about God's mission, and we talk about going out and being a part of that mission with God, Pastor Dan and I don't have some special formula that automatically gets people to believe in Jesus. I wish we did, that would be awesome. I would love to put that in your hands, but it doesn't work like that. And Pastor Dan and I don't necessarily have magical powers that make us somehow better at this than other people because we spent 8 years in school learning about Greek and Hebrew. And those are good things. But the reality is that there are people in these pews right now that are probably better at this than Pastor Dan and myself. And that's a good thing. But apart from all sorts of fancy words or formulas or figuring out how we're supposed to do this, at the heart of all of this, there has to be trust. Trust that this is not our work, but the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, even those disciples who doubted Jesus, even as he was standing before them, they became the biggest movers and shakers in the history of the church. And it wasn't because of any sort of qualifications that they had. It wasn't anything special they did, any special words that they said, but rather it was because of the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. As we read in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes upon these men and they go out and they spread the gospel to the nations. And hundreds and thousands of people come to follow Jesus and trust in him. And still today, God continues to work. God continues to work through his Spirit, through his people, like you and me, across the world, here in Federal Way, here at St. Luke's. God is continuing to work through us, that more and more people would continue to trust in him, continue to believe in him, as hundreds and thousands more continue to become disciples of Jesus Christ. At this point, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's great. Pastor, and that's some really good theologizing about the Holy Spirit there. Really helpful. But what does that actually look like? Because if I'm supposed to be on this mission with God, if God has a mission and I'm supposed to be walking with him in that, what does that look like? If people are going to follow Jesus and believe in him, what am I supposed to say and do? You're right. This can be hard. And you're right, just the Holy Spirit is in you. And that doesn't mean that somehow magically now the Holy Spirit will emanate from you and everyone you come in contact with will magically become a believer in Jesus. You're right. It doesn't work like that. But there are some things that we can do. And they're really simple. And they might be uncomfortable at times. But in some regards, they're really easy too. Number one, love your neighbor. It seems so simple, but I think we all know how hard it is to truly love our neighbor. I think we all know how hard it is to truly be kind and compassionate to those that we come in contact with, especially when they're not so kind and compassionate to us. But the first part of this process is love your neighbor. When you come in contact with them, share the love of Jesus with them. Love them as Jesus loved you. And I think sometimes that's the one that might come more naturally. That's the one that seems more easy, but we can't forget the second part. We have to speak the gospel. So you can love your neighbor, but they need to hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing the word. And so for us, what does it look like? Love your neighbor and speak the gospel to them. And so where do we do that? What does it look like? You know, that's not helpful either. You know, one of the amazing things about being in the church is, by the way, there's a lot of us in here. And you know that each of us are going to go from this church to different places. Some of us might be going to get lunch after this. Some of us might be going home. Some of us might be stopping at Starbucks on the way home. And wherever you go, you are going to come in contact with people. The churchy word for what I'm about to tell you is called vocation. Each and every one of us has been uniquely gifted and uniquely placed in our lives to interact with other people. And when you have those opportunities to interact with other people, these are opportunities for you to love your neighbor, to do good, and to speak the gospel. And some of them are super simple. See, because I don't know about you, but I was born. Were you born? No. And if you were born, that means you are a member of a family. And so you are a son or a daughter. You are a sibling. You are a mother. You are a father. And these are vocations that God has given you. These are vocations that God has given you to interact with people in your life. And for some of you, you have people in your family who need Jesus. And you have been uniquely gifted in your life to speak truth, to speak the gospel into their life, and to love those people that they may know Jesus. Or think about parents. You, as a parent, are the most uniquely gifted person uniquely placed person in your children's lives to speak the gospel, to love your children, that they may be instilled this Christian faith, that they may come to know Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. This is your vocation as a parent. But we have vocations all over the place. We have vocations at our work, where we interact with our workmates. We have vocations where we interact with our bosses. We have vocations where we interact with people throughout our community. And each and every one of us is uniquely placed to build upon those relationships, to love, and to speak the gospel. You know, some of us are not going to be called to be missionaries to Africa. And that's okay. Some of you might be called to be missionaries to Africa. You might feel, you know, this is exactly where God is calling me to be. And if that's so, may God go with you. And may you do good. May you love your neighbor and speak the gospel to those people in Africa. But for some of us, we're missionaries in our families. We're missionaries in our workplaces. We're missionaries at Starbucks. We're missionaries at our restaurants. We're missionaries to those that we interact with in our community. And in all of this, Christ reigns and the Holy Spirit continues to work. And I know that that's not really easy. That can still be scary at times, but God has placed you in these roles. He's placed each and every one of us in these roles and these places that we might spread the gospel to the world. Because we all have people in our lives, people in our families and other spheres of influences that are in need of life and forgiveness, that we are uniquely placed to speak to. And so what I want to do before we close this message, I want you to take a moment. And I want you to think about a particular person. I want you to actually get a name in your mind of someone that you know who needs Jesus. Someone that you know who doesn't know Jesus, who's in need of life and forgiveness that comes from faith in Jesus. Hopefully you have a name in your mind. I want you to pray for that person. I want you to pray for that person, that the Holy Spirit would do his work in their lives, that they would come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, that they too might be a disciple and follower of Jesus. If there's nothing else you can do, you can pray. But there's other things I think we can do. And so for whatever the situation looks like, I want you to find a way to share the love of Jesus with that person. Love your neighbor. And sometimes it's simple. Maybe it's your actual neighbor and you invite them over for a meal to get to know them a little better, to begin to build a relationship of trust and respect. And you may not see any change. You may not even have any opportunities to say anything. But as you do that, you will continue to get them closer to being able to listen and hear the gospel. And I guarantee you, if you continue doing that, God will open up opportunities for you. God will open up opportunities for you to speak the gospel into their life. And you may not see any change in them. You may not see them come to faith. They may not come down to the altar and be baptized the second that you talk to them. But God works through you, and he works through other people too. God is faithful to his people. I know this isn't an easy thing for me to ask for you to do. It's not easy for me either, by the way. This can be a challenging thing, but this is what it's all about. This is why we're here. This is our purpose. This is our function. We're going with God in this mission. And the fact is that if you are sitting in this pew right now, someone else has brought you here. Someone has brought you to the point that you've come to church here. And so for some of you, that might be your parents. Your parents instilled this in you, that you have this faith in Jesus. But for others, you can think of particular people in your life that have spoken truth, that have spoken life to you. And now, we have the opportunity for others to speak your name, to think of you in the way that you have spoken into their lives. God has uniquely gifted you and placed you into this world that you might be a part of this mission. Because the reality is that God's mission is not just for pastors, it's not just for missionaries, but God's mission is for all of his people. The doubters and the hesitators and all, just like you and me. And so for my prayer for you now is that as you go and you interact with people in your vocations, and you pray for them, and you get to know them, and you get opportunities to speak the gospel, may God give you his peace. May God lead you to be his instrument wherever you will go. That those that you come in contact with may come to know Jesus as their Savior and their Lord too. Amen.